CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. The AUKUS deal, Australia, United Kingdom, and the U.S. Several days now, there have been sharp reactions from several continents. The United States, certainly. The United Nations General Assembly, much talk. But in Europe, France and Brussels, the European Union, and London. And in Asia, Australia, Canberra, and its friends and allies in the region, Tokyo, Jakarta, Delhi, everybody observing this revelation that these three countries, Britain, Australia, and the United States, will work together for nuclear submarine capabilities into the Indo-Pacific from near Perth, Western Australia. Gregory has taught me to say Fremantle, the naval base, over these next decades, building submarines in Australia, nuclear submarines with U.S. and U.K. technology. The turn here is that France had a standing deal with Australia to build conventional submarines. That is now set aside, and the French are extremely exercised. We're going to start in Canberra, however. Gregory, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Scott Morrison, who leads a cabinet, certainly you'd have to say to the conservative side, but during the pandemic, there's been much controversy about Scott Morrison assigning security to the governors of the provinces, of the states, New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, etc., and not commanding from the center, from his prime ministership. However, in this instance, Scott Morrison negotiated, to my understanding so far, negotiated quietly, discreetly, the word is secret, an alliance that very much involves all of the Australian public. Is that unusual for the Prime Minister of Australia to exercise his authority without consulting or without educating his public for it? And is it successful at this moment? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, the Prime Minister of Australia does have that right and responsibility solely to make those large decisions regarding national security. He does the decisions in conjunction with, of course, his Minister of Defence in this instance, and probably the Minister of Foreign Affairs. The states have no role in this, and rarely is there coherent public debate on major defense decisions before they are made. Obviously, there's discussion, but it's not something which is part of the process leading up to the decision. And such was the decision by the former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to order the French submarine concept, because it was not an actual submarine design that was chosen at that stage. And he did that with his Minister of Defence at that time, Christopher Pyne. Christopher Pyne was from South Australia. He saw that the federal parliament in the coming elections was likely to lose two seats in the federal parliament to Labour, and as a result was anxious to make a decision on a new submarine program which would create massive employment in South Australia at Australian Submarine Corporation. So they made this very hasty decision to adopt the French submarine concept, which was based on a nuclear submarine of the French Navy, so that this then became the basis. And it was something which was ill-considered at that time and basically blossomed out into a project which, instead of costing about $12 billion, came to represent a project which would ultimately cost about $180 billion. Now, you could buy quite a few carrier battle groups and you know, nuclear submarines for that. But it was something which got out of control. And this was a direct legacy of the former Prime Minister Turnbull, who's since been disgraced and basically dismissed from the Liberal Party, and Christopher Pyne. So this was a project which could not be sustained, not just for the price, but it was likely that Australia would not even see the first vessels going into fleet service for about 20 years. So everybody knew this couldn't stay. It either had to be fixed or it had to be scrapped. The calls for it to be scrapped were loud and they were very public. Now, the state parliaments have nothing to do in this conversation whatsoever, really. So although the President of Australian states are taking their own view on lockdowns and the like in order to cope with the COVID-19 situation, the reality is that they wouldn't have a say in national security issues.
The reporting suggests that China is making threats against Australia, first to die. I think we've mentioned this before. So the Australian public is involved, and they are on the front lines of an alliance meant for the Indo-Pacific, but the U.S. and Britain are far away from Chinese reach. Is this sustained? Is it popular in Australia so far from what we know of it?
There's no question. The decision to scrap the French deal has met with overwhelming support publicly, by both lay people and by informed defense analysts. In fact, the thought was that the French government itself should hang its head in shame for its blatant attempt to extract unreasonable amounts of money over the coming decades from Australia and not yet contribute to Australia's ability to project its naval power into the Indo-Pacific. So basically, the Australian public believes that the French government has acted quite dishonorably in this matter. Secondly, there's no doubt either that the Australian government managed to put itself in this position, and this was largely the results of former Prime Minister Turnbull and Christopher Pyne, the Defence Minister, but particularly from those admirals who allowed this to happen. They were wooed into this for one reason or another, possibly because they like the idea of regular trips to France. But the reality is that although the French were despised for this deal, the admirals themselves basically felt to be in a position where they should be taken out and hanged from the nearest yardarm, or at least retired from their positions in the Navy, because they've really let the side down.
France, you've mentioned several times, so we'll get right to it. Emmanuel Macron, running for re-election, is outspoken in objecting to the deal. Chiefly, I think it has to do with the fact it was a surprise. It was done in secret. However, the president of France has consulted with Ursula von der Leyen of the EU, who has mentioned that the way this was conducted so far from what we know is unacceptable. And there's talk that the EU trade deal with Australia will be reconsidered because of this. The French upset is particularly puzzling to me because France has a lot of possessions in the Pacific. It's a Pacific power if it wants to be. Does that promise that France will be integrated into these arrangements in future after this first flush of enmity?
No, I don't think so. I think that there will be ongoing cooperation between Australia and the UK, possibly the United States and France, in projecting maritime power into the Indo-Pacific. That cooperation has been underway for some time, and France and the United Kingdom have been very close and integrated in their defence planning, particularly in their thinking on aircraft carrier design and the like, for some time. So that's likely to continue, despite the fact that the French government is saying that they are reconsidering that defence cooperation with the UK. If they do reconsider that and reduce it, it would be to the profound detriment of France. Now, the other thing is that the European Union says it would reconsider the EU-Australia trade deal. If they did that, it would again be to the profound disinterest or against the interest of the European Union itself. The European Union right now needs all of the foreign trade it can get. What we see is that since Britain withdrew from the European Union, British international trade has risen dramatically, and in fact has even risen dramatically with the European Union itself, despite the attempts by the European Union governance, if you like, the European Commission, to reduce the EU's dependence on Britain as a trading partner. So Britain has done extremely well by withdrawing from the EU and from actually distancing itself in both security and trade terms from Europe. So if France wishes to go ahead successfully as a strategic power, then it will need to get over this tiff. Now, certainly the French government has every reason to feel embarrassed and belittled by the manner in which this cancellation of the Longfish Barracuda submarine project was done. The Australian government should have handled it better, could have handled it better, and particularly did not need to give the French government the belief that everything was business as usual in the last few months, when the government of Australia and the UK and US governments knew that it was not, particularly because this UK, Australia, US alliance was basically agreed in principle in March this year. It was solidified during the G7, on the sidelines of the G7 summit in Cornwall in June. So, President Biden knew about this when he went to speak to the NATO summit after the G7, and Australian Prime Minister, of course, knew this when he went after G7 to talk with President Macron. So Macron feels embarrassed by this, and rightly so, particularly in the run-up to the election. The election is something he's likely to be severely challenged on, and he is, no question about it, is panicked about this, and panicked about the fact that France has been made to look like a small player.
Britain. Is this global Britain? Does it work, Gregory? Can Britain project power consistently into the Indo-Pacific?
Absolutely. It's done it before, consistently through the 20th century, and will do so again. It's already managed to dramatically upgrade its capability into the Indo-Pacific. And the irony is that the Biden administration, which came into office and continues to take a largely anti-British line, particularly over the EU and so on. But the Biden administration has actually welcomed this new alliance and, in a sense, has ceded some sea space to Britain in this, which means that the United States has stepped back a pace in the Indo-Pacific, and allowed Britain to expand its presence. And to a degree, this has been very good for President Biden, because it takes a lot of the pressure off the United States and hands it over to Australia and the United Kingdom.
Gregory Copley is editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. These are the early days of the revelation of the AUKUS alliance, United Kingdom, Australia, and the United States, to do with containment of the People's Republic of China. And we'll turn to China when we come back, asking first the question, does containment work? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.